Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you that you are just after us, God, and caring for us, that you mean to bless us, that you're not far, you're very near, and you care so deeply about us. And so today, God, as we continue to worship you, we pray for your words, God, they would be food for us. It would revive us, renew us, give us strength. And God, that your spirit would also light, would do surgery in our hearts and help us, God, and heal us and heal our people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue our series on worship and what we want to do, worship simply is to come into the presence of God, under the rule of God, and to enjoy God. So in English, it means worship, means we ascribe worth, meaning it means that God is most valuable, most expensive. He is more expensive and more valuable and more priceless than anything else. Now, we don't feel that on a day-to-day basis. And so we looked at the glory of God shared. We looked at the glory of God received. And then we're looking at the glory of God reflected. And so today we want to talk about breakthroughs in the way that God wants us to be holy. That's what God commands us to be. He commands us to be holy. He commands us to be uncommon. And so holiness is about the uncommonness of our nature. So God's love is holy, therefore our love has to be holy. So we can't love like the rest of the world. So God's grace is holy, so therefore our grace has to be holy. His forgiveness is holy. So it's the ever-expanding nature of our existence here in this life. And so sanctification literally means to make holy. So all of God's actions in your lives, if you're here, God means to, through worship, expand you, to transform you. Transformation is critical and necessary and a must that we would become bigger. So through worship, we become more generous. We become more forgiving. So worship is a necessary part of us being able to love our children without frustration, to love our spouses, to forgive them, to have more mercy. These are, worship is not just for the sake of worship. Worship, because God doesn't need our worship. That's shocking. God is not needy. He's not some egotistical person where he just delights in being worshiped. Scripture says the Sabbath was created for man. Created for man, not man for the Sabbath. In the sense, if Sabbath was about worship, God created worship because we need worship. Doesn't mean that God doesn't delight in worship. It means that if you're talking about need, we need worship. So we are so most desperately to experience, and here it is, we're here so desperately to experience the glory and the presence of God. And these words will mean nothing to you if it goes to the ear and comes out the other ear. If these words go to the ear and the Holy Spirit takes it and it comes out in here and something goes, you know what? These are not just words, right? This is food. This is surgery. So we're going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about natural limitations. Everybody is born with a certain degree and a certain ability to love. We have a certain natural ability to show mercy and a natural ability to show grace. And we have an inherent natural sense of justice. But Scripture says, though they have natural limitations, they're weak. They're natural. Therefore, they're not holy. It is common. Now, so we're going to equate that natural limitation, and then when God calls you to turn the other cheek, that's unnatural. When he says, love one another just as I have loved, that's unnatural. So notice the Christian life will lead you to feeling oppressed. It's true. The Christian life will lead you either to joy or oppression because of our natural limitations. And that's really important to understand. There is an uncommon limitation, the ever-expanding transformative limitation. We call that holiness. We call that sanctification. And then we want to see how repentance and connection has to do with that ever-expansion, that ever-expanding, that sanctification. So when we say sanctification, we talked about, most people, when you talk about holy, people think that holiness is about not doing something. If you like think about somebody who's holy, then you'll think of somebody who doesn't, let's say, watch R-rated movies. They're very proud. They don't drink. They don't, swear. They don't do stuff. And that's part of it. But true holiness and the emphasis of holiness in Scripture is the ever-expanding ability to love, to be generous, to take on burden, the ability to listen, actually, right? Without always chiming in. That generosity, that forgiveness. It's that ever-expanding ability that's called holiness. That's sanctification. That's what Jesus is talking about. The Pharisees were all about not doing stuff. They were like the epitome of not doing. They felt good about themselves. And Jesus comes and wrecks that view. Romans 6:19. So let's begin. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Okay? For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So leading to holiness. And so we talked about sanctification. We have to agree. Sanctification is about that ever-expanding, right? Ever-expanding, becoming more like Christ, becoming more loving, more generous, more forgiving. This is sanctification. This is imitating Christ. This is becoming like Christ because he is holy. So when we present our members, that's what we want to focus on today. What does it mean to present ourselves as... So when we look at the word slave, we got like flags. Flags everywhere. So I want to define slave. If I was, let's say, all powerful, okay, and I enslave this world, right? They have to, okay, have in their bank $1 trillion. They have to. They can't. Like, they'll try to spend it all, but I will force, okay, an unreplenishing amount of money, and they are forced to have $1 trillion. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to force them to do whatever they want to do every day. I'm going to force that. Now, I remember when I was watching Matrix, for those who have watched Matrix, and there's this bad guy, right? the betrayer. The people in Matrix are trying to free people's minds, free people from the captivity, the bondage of people who are enslaved to the Matrix, this digital world. And one of the betrayers is, you know, if you haven't watched Matrix, it's too late. This is a spoiler alert, okay? You can, yeah, if you're going to go watch it today, okay, you can be excused to go out for 5 minutes. What he does is he betrays the patriots, the freedom fighters, because he wants to be enslaved again. Now, in his mind, that's not slavery. In his mind, slavery is being free. So you have to kind of think about, well, how do you define slavery then? And because this is a play on words. The reason I gave that example is if somebody forces you to do what you want to do, that's not true slavery. We call that freedom. And it's like, well, slavery is when you have to do something that you don't want to do, that's called oppression. That's oppression, because you don't want to do it. Because you don't want to do it, now if you loved hard labor, let's say hard labor made you really, really happy. It was the thing that made you the happiest. And somebody enslaved you to hard labor. That's slavery in one sense, but that's freedom in another sense. Children feel very oppressed. Okay, I'm looking at, you know, Kaylin over there, and I'm sure she felt oppressed by her parents because they probably told her to do something she didn't want to do. I'm looking at Jeremy as well, right? I don't want to pick on Jeremy, but Jeremy actually only wants to do what his parents tell him to do, so I don't know about that. But understand, slavery defined is exactly what I'm saying. So in Christianity, here it says, but now, Romans 6:20, but now that you have been set free from sin, how do you get set free from sin and become a slave of God? It's because true freedom, it's in one sense, it's being defined as you're now able to do what you want to do, and what you want to do is also what you have to do. Notice that? Now, if you're free to do what you want to do, but it's not what you ought to do, that's not true freedom. But here's scripture defining freedom. So it's, in one sense, it's complete freedom, but in another sense, it's complete slavery. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. It is linking this idea that what I have to do is what I want to do. And that's all I want to do. And because I want to do it, I'm able to do it, and I feel energized to do it, but I have to do it, that's called transformation. And that comes from coming into the glory of God. So we're transformations away from wanting to do and being able to do what we have to do because we want to do them. It is natural, though. It doesn't require transformation. Because sometimes, we as parents, we do this to our children. I've done it. We use natural motivations. Now, motivation is energy, by the way. We use natural motivations, okay, to give energy, okay? I've received it. I've done it myself. Here's some natural energies that we resort to. Guilt. We try to guilt people into doing stuff. We even try to guilt people to love us more. Shame. We shame people into doing stuff. Because that has a certain degree of energy. We do that at work, actually. We try to shame, you know, unproductive providers, you know, to do more work, you know, by comparing them. Comparison. People use comparison to do this. Greed, selfish ambition. That's an energy. And we're like, oh my gosh, he's so amazing. Like, I mean, because you tap into greed, you tap into that sinful energy, right? Then you can do more. And sometimes we do that with our children. And all I'm going to say is stop. Stop guilting, shaming your children to do more than what they are able to do. It's not necessary. Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Again, here's the idea that we are a free people. That means of all the people in the face of the earth, we are a people who are what? Who want to do what we ought to do. And we're going to get ever increasingly better and better at doing them. So let's look at the second point, uncommon limitation. This is really, really important. Deuteronomy 28:47 says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking everything. Many of us are operating in the natural limitations. We find ourselves frustrated. That's where I would say many of us are. God does not desire for us to be in a cycle of natural. That's not sanctification. How do you know where you're in, when you're in the uncommon holiness aspect? How do you know when you are being renewed? Because you're going to serve with gladness. You're going to serve with gladness. So, I mean, you're going to go to work and sin is going to get in the way. And at the end of the day, you want to be able to get to that place where whatever you have done, you have to have done it for the Lord and you have to serve with gladness. If there is debt remaining at the end of the evening against anybody, you got to go to the Lord, because that is not a state. You cannot have something against someone. Okay? That means they owe you. That means at the end of the day, or throughout the day, you have to be wiping off that debt. Now, nobody else could do that except God. There is a seriousness about serving in the strength of the Lord, in the gladness of God. 1 Peter 4:11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, this is a command, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. This is serious business. People cannot owe you unless you feel like you owe God or you can pay God back. Your children do not owe you. Your spouses don't owe you. Your church members, your friends, your boss, nobody owes you nothing. And here's the good news, because you don't deserve anything. That's the gospel, folks. The good news, because we walk around like we deserve stuff. You know what the cross shows us? That we're undeserving of anything. Matter of fact, if we're deserving of anything, okay, we're deserving of justice. And we walk around, we're upset and angry as if people owe you something. What you're really saying is God owes you. And God does not owe you. Oh, but He loves you. But He loves you. And that's why we serve with gladness. Because you know why? The one thing about freedom, okay, is that it's no longer a got to. It's a get to. That's the difference now. It's a get to. I get to serve my family. I get to go to work. I get to go to work and face all kinds of difficulty, even with the kind of boss that I have. I get to do these things. I get to wake up and breathe another breath. And nobody owes me none of that. Now, why? Well, the second half of that verse, in order that, and here's the explanation, everything, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you think that you are naturally a very loving mother, naturally a very loving father, naturally this, naturally that, God has no glory. Because you know why? Secular people are loving fathers. They're loving mothers. That's common. But to do it with gladness and in the strength of the Lord, that takes connection. 2 Corinthians 12:9, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's the same word, actually, that I read to you from Romans. It means natural limitation. It's the grace of God. Remember what we talked about? God gives grace to who? The humble. It is the grace of God when we stop pretending like we deserve everything. You don't deserve anything from your wife. You don't deserve anything from your husband. We don't. But we talk like they owe you. We talk as if our children owes us. The good news is that it's all grace. And it's all sufficient. And it is made perfect in our limitations. So let's, you know what? Sometimes I hear this, and sometimes I've said it. Like, I'm frustrated myself because I think I'm better than this. I hear this a lot. You know I'm better than this. Here's the good news. You know you're not. You're really not better than this. You know how small you act sometimes? You know how small you really are? It's because you are really small. And only by the grace of God can we be bigger. And that's the utter humility in all this, is I don't deserve anything because I am just a small man. I'm just a small man. But you know what? Praise be to God, because His grace is sufficient. And I'm going to boast. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of all my limitations, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So let's look at the same passage here, Romans 6:19, but now let's look at the so now. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness. And what does that say? When we present our members, okay, now we'll come into that idea of, right, repentance and surrender and connecting with God. Because when we present our members to God, ourselves to God, okay, then when we make ourselves available to God, okay, then God then does what? It's His business to make us bigger. That's what that means, leading to sanctification. It means it's leading to holiness, which means it's leading to our bigness. It's leading to our generosity, our ever-expanding mercies.
Galatians 2:20. Now, we have to understand, when we offer ourselves, there's an identity here. I have been crucified with Christ. The old me is dead. It is no longer I who live. But notice this. The reason why sanctification is the greater dying of an individual identity and the ever-expanding identity, okay, of that identity in Christ. It's that togetherness identity. It's about Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Paul continuously identifies, and this is where, right, the imagery is that it's called remaining sin. It's the old self. So if you can imagine, there is this part of you, which is a parasite that lives in you, but it is not you. When you become a Christian, it's not that I want to, right, to be worldly, and I want worldly success. It's the parasite in me wants all that. So it's the parasite in me that is envious, right? It's the parasite that wants to do this and that. It's the old self. So the death to old self is stopping the identity as if that's what you want. You don't want that for your children. The old self wants that for your children. Now, if you've mistaken that identity, then you're operating as if that old self is not dead and that old self is actually who you are.
Ephesians 4:22. So put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Surrender. That's not you. That's not what you want. You put it off. You take it off. Right? To your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires and what? To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. I'm going to stop it there for that verse. That's how you renew. You take it off. Because here's the picture, okay, in Hebrews 12, okay, I don't know if I remember I ran cross country. Back in high school. And it was one of the most miserable days, I tell you. But one thing about cross-country folks is they obsess about weight. Like the weight of their shoes, the weight of their clothes. I mean, they measure their shoes weight in ounces. They have racers. They're like uncomfortable shoes. And they don't offer a lot of support. But they're very, very lightweight because they think that all that extra weight is going to drag them down or weigh them down, okay, in finishing the race well. We're talking ounces, folks. Now, that's the picture here in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these are the people, these are the faithful fathers that have gone before us, let us also lay aside, it's the same word, means to take off, every weight and sin. The Christian life, so when we present our members, we are coming to Christ, and this is what worship is, we are taking off what weighs us down. That means, what are you doing throughout the day that is weighing you down? How much time must you spend on your phone? How much of that? How much is your TV weighing you down? How much is this? How much is your work weighing you down? What is it that is weighing you down? Because you're not running well. Let us lay aside, take off every weight and sin which clings so closely. It's like,
And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Folks, when you got all that weight, it's hard to endure, isn't it? It's hard to have devotions, isn't it? It's hard. We're so tired. It's hard to focus. You know what I pray? Because I tell you, I mean, there were days when I was like completely giving up TV. But even now, I say, God, like, make TV less enjoyable. Sadly, it's come to that point where it's like so much less enjoyable. I used to love it. Now it's like, oh my gosh, this is so lame. You know what I mean? But also, God, on certain days, God, I commit to you. This is how you present your member. God, on certain days, no. God, and if I do, then God, whatever you do, this is like how you present. Same thing with sin. Like, there's a stronghold. First of all, if there's a stronghold, don't try to defeat strongholds. Don't try to defeat porn, things like by yourself. Right? Don't. When there's a stronghold, there's a habit you cannot break. You need help. But the point is, we present our members and we're taking it off. Because it's like running a race with a weighted belt around you. And we're like so tired. We're so tired. We're carrying around unforgiveness, right? We're carrying around bitterness and envy. And we're carrying around, you know, just all this junk. You know, throughout the day, things that happened at work, we're carrying it around. And we're just wondering why I'm so tired. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath. You got to take it off, folks. Slander. Did you gossip? Take it off. Obscene talk from your mouth. Lies. Right? You have put off the old self. Don't identify. When you can't put it off, that means you're identifying with it. That means you think that's who you are. You actually think, here's the thing, that you really love, that you really cannot give up, okay, K-drama. Or that you, like, even if it's like really impeding your walk with God, or you can't really give up, okay, the social networking. Like, you actually think that that's you. It is absolutely important to pray this way. God, that's not what I want. You know what I want. I want to be with you. I identify with what you want. Because what I gotta do is what I want to do, and I am free to do those things. So stop struggling as if when you struggle with giving up sin and idols in your life, you have an identity problem. Put on the new self. And here's the thing, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. It's literally saying, Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. I no longer live, and the life I live through Christ. What I want, and it's not like, you know what? We're not coming to say, God, I'm going to give it. Sometimes it's okay to say, God, you know, this is so hard. I need things to be, God, I need the Holy Spirit right now. I need people to lay hands on me. I need the power from the Holy Spirit to come down to break me of these idols, because I don't want that weight. It's like, if you're a cross-country runner, right, and you have, you know, a 20-pound training suit, right, you wouldn't wear that in a race. You want to take it off. You got to know who you are, and you got to know what you want. That's the Christian life. So that you feel like, you know what, I got buttons in the back. You know what I mean? I can't reach back there, right?
That means you go to somebody and say, hey, can you undo me? You know what I'm saying? That's like the picture. You do what you have to do to take it off. Here's something. Sometimes we look at Matthew 11, 28, and it's like so peaceful and gentle. I just want you to see the picture of what a yoke is. Yoke. Jesus says, come and yoke with me. That's what a yoke is. It's the thing that enslaves you. It's the thing that binds you, right? To be able to do work, the good work, to be holy. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Come to me, all who are facing natural limitations. That's a wonderful invitation. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Because without the yoke sometimes, right, we go like, we're just zigzagging. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice what a yoke does. It's a deeper connection. Enslavement to God, okay, is actually connecting to God. In scripture, when you say slave to God, it means deeply connected to God. That's what a yoke is. 1 John 4:10. The idea here is the greatest commandment in all of scripture is to love. That means you have to do something. But here's what it necessarily means. It's not about you doing things out of your flesh, out of your natural limitation. 1 John 4:10 is talking to people who thought that that's what it meant. That means I have to naturally be the best mom I can be. I have to naturally be the best, you know, dad and the best this and the best. Like, I have to try to be generous all on my own. John is talking to people who's thinking like that, and John is saying, and this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. It's saying, you can't give from an empty cup. You can't. Colossians 3:12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, this is what you're putting on. You're putting on forgiveness. So when you're driving home, this is what I do. When I drive home from work, I have to kind of think through, okay, who are all the people I need to forgive? In the name of Jesus Christ, who are all the people, right? Because I can't carry that weight home. Because you know what I'm not going to have? I'm not going to do that race when I get home. I remember especially when I had kids. Because I need leftover energy. I need supernatural energy. I need the strength and the gladness of God. But I can't carry that weight of unforgiveness when I go home. So you know what? You know what I do? I leave it, I lay it to the Lord. I present my members to Christ. I say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive them. Now, if there are apologies that I have not yet to be made, Lord, I've said some stuff I regret saying, right? They were unkind words. You know what I do? I say, okay, God, tomorrow or that day. Sometimes I pull over because I don't want to forget. I'll just text somebody and say, hey, look, or email them and say, you know what? You know that, like this morning, that was wrong of me. I'll do that because I don't want to carry that weight. And parents, if you said unkind words to your children, you got to learn to apologize. If you said unkind words to your spouse, you got to learn to apologize. And you got to commit that to the Lord. Present yourselves. That's a weight you don't want to carry. If you've been stingy, right? You know, you don't give as you ought. You don't want to carry around that weight. You don't want to carry that. You present that. Because here's the standard. Forgiving each other, like how? The standard is high. Sometimes we compare ourselves to each other, don't we? You know what? I mean, you know, They don't serve it, you know, this, and they don't, you know. I mean, I look at the pastor, I mean, you know, he doesn't do that. And no, here's the comparison. As the Lord has forgiven you. We're not just talking about offense. We're talking about debt. We're talking about even money. So some of you, you know, might have, you know, be serving. You might have done something wonderful, and they took you for granted. There's a debt. There's a debt right there. You feel a little bent out of shape. You got to forgive that. Forgive it. Because you don't want to carry it. Then it says this, put on love, right? Which what? Binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know what love is? It's the thing that enslaves. When you love somebody, you're enslaved to them. It is. That's what a covenant is. It's the promise of slavery. And here's the thing, you know, I love the marriage ceremony. It's like, and how long does this slavery last? Till death do you part. Till death do you part. It is a joyous commitment of enslavement. That's what love is. It's you get to do what you ought to do. And it is, and here's just perfect harmony. There's something about, so the depth of my connection, and that's called slavery. That's the radical picture. Remember, holiness is radical, right? It's the uncommonness. And then when you connect that way, when you yoke that way, and then let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. It doesn't, you know, when I am restless, you ever get restless? You get restless, don't we? You know, why do we pick up our phone? Because we're restless. Why do we turn on it? Like, why do we do what do we do? Because we're restless. Is it ever, we just got to stop the madness and go, you know what? I'm restless because I am not connected deeply right now to Christ. I'm still carrying that weight. I have not come before him. I'm just not, like, I'm running away. And so when we feel restless, don't turn to distraction. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And here's the thing, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It is absolutely paramount, folks, as we present our members to continually be replenished by the word of God. It is absolutely paramount that we continue to offer up praises and singing, right, to come into the presence of God. And we're going to talk about this more next week, and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that is so important. But it doesn't mean what you think it might mean, but I don't want to give you the spoiler. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're going to go to the last verse, Psalm 100, verse 2. Here's the good news, folks. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now think about this, folks. All that Jesus commands us to do. Remember what a disciple is? A disciple is someone who obeys the commands of Jesus. That's a disciple. That is literally what Jesus says. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to what? Observe all that I've commanded. Now, to do that would be unbearably oppressive if God did not give you power to do that and gladness to do that. And so here's the thing. Serve. Here's the command. Serve the Lord with gladness. God never commands anything that is not possible for us to do. And that's the good news. Come into his presence. Notice that. You have to come into that presence of God. And here's the thing. How do you know when you come into the presence of God? Trust me when I say this. You know when you know. When you come into the presence of God, sin becomes more sinful and love becomes much more loving. Love becomes radical. You know why? Because when you come into the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus. The Holy Spirit will show you the cross. Right? And all pretense about what you deserve and, you know, how I've been wronged and, you know? It's like all of that will melt away in light of the cross. So come into this, His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is who made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What great news. What great news. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh God, I just pray now, God, for the Holy Spirit to just move, Lord, just come and descend in this place. We pray for the Holy Spirit to just hover, God, here. And also, Lord, just pray for your presence now. Begin to weigh, Lord, with conviction, God, to surrender ourselves and to present our members, ourselves to you, God. God, you love us. God, you care so deeply about us, and you desire to free us so that we may get to do what we ought to do. And God, and enjoy life till its fullest. So Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to descend in this place as we lift up our, Lord, songs in worship. God, will you be in them? Will you move in them and show us Jesus? In Jesus' name, amen.